Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Sarah Middlemiss, a Space Programme Manager with Ecometrica. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Hi there, thanks for having me.
Ecometrica provide information solutions, turning data from observations into insights for their clients. When we're talking a little bit about the trends that Sarah's seeing from her work, and also reflect a bit on some of the highlights from Innovation Forum's recent Sustainable Landscapes Conference, where Ecometrica was a sponsor. Sarah, why don't you give us a bit of introduction as to what Ecometrica does?
We are what we call a downstream space company. So that means that we take the information and data that comes from satellites and try and extract useful insights. So we're very much a data-driven company providing services to a range of customers, both corporate and government, normally around sustainability and environmental risk management. So as well as using satellite data, we also bring in other types of geospatial data to help companies and public bodies assess, manage, and report on environmental related risks and opportunities as well.
And what are the sort of trends that you're seeing then in the information that your companies are asking you to provide?
There are sort of three big things. So it's around compliance, looking at where there are certain regulations in place. So a big one in supply chains, for example, in Brazil, there's the forest code. So are we sourcing from farms that are compliant with that code? That are they restoring a certain amount of forests? And we're sort of developing the algorithms to extract the information from satellite data, as well as combining it with their farm data already. Equally, I think it's being used a lot more strategically. So trying to identify, well, where should I be sourcing from? Are there certain areas that yield has been increasing, that climate factors are having an impact on how certain crops are being grown and the amount that's able to be grown? And also, I guess, due diligence is another trend, an important factor. So again, looking through your supply chain and understanding, well, what sort of impact am I having by sourcing soy from this particular area? But also from an investment perspective as well, if I'm investing in this, is there something lurking that I should be aware of that we might be able to find out from using satellite or other types of geospatial data?
I mean, it certainly came out at the event a few weeks ago. Companies want to engage with data and do it better. But I think equally, it came out that many companies are a little bit lost as to how to engage. So how are you seeing companies engaging with the benefits of better data provision and analysis?
I mean, I think I would agree with that slightly lost statement. I think our experience that it so far has been reasonably slow. I think a lot of companies have maybe an old school approach to it. So preferring to commission kind of one-off bits of consultancy or pilot projects, and governments are just as bad. But I think things are changing. There's more of a shift to identifying it as an operational cost. So information almost as a productive factor. I think a lot of businesses and public bodies have cut levels of middle management and those more technical positions such as GIS and mapping departments. So what they sort of want and what they need are sort of easy to interpret insights that produce actionable information. So they don't necessarily want the raw data itself that gets lost on most people, especially those people making the decisions at quite a high level. What they require is the insights and the actual information brought out of that data in easy to read reports and tables, interfaces, you know, something that's easily digestible.
Fine. So I mean, you're certainly seeing then that companies wanting, on the one hand, more sophisticated data processed, but on the other hand, that boiled down into easily digestible bits of information.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of managers or decision makers aren't necessarily interested in the technical details of NDVI indexes or the algorithms behind detecting where the forest is converted into agriculture. What they're interested in understanding is, my supply chain at risk? Are we compliant with this specific regulation around deforestation, for example, or this particular certification that we're trying to achieve? And then I guess also the information that informs a decision or an action around that. So if I'm not compliant, what is the action that is required? And then how can I check what kind of impact that has had?
Are we seeing then a move from companies from wanting data and insights for retrospective reporting then towards developing business opportunities? Where's that balance now?
Starting to get there, certainly. A lot of it is still around risk, but I think particularly as climate change is having an impact, certainly on how certain crops and supply chains are grown, for example. So what we're seeing is some customers are interested in understanding, well, where's the best area to source a certain crop, barley for beer, for example? Do I need to try and source from a different area because the temperatures are rising? I mean, I guess a classic example would be the English sparkling wine industry. The reason that's taken off is because the weather has had an effect to make the English climate better for growing that particular grape. So there will be similar crops where that happens. And I think companies are very interested to get ahead of the curve. That's something that actually I think came out of the conference, as well as just looking at the various sort of regulatory risks. How do we manage those longer term climate risks and gain insights that will help mitigate against those?
What supply chains are you seeing your customers being more interested in now? I mean, what are the supply chains that are coming up that people want greater information about?
All the biggies, the ones supported by the TFA 2020. So soy and palm oil are a huge one. We do a lot of work in Brazil and in Southeast Asia. Cocoa is also very, very big as part of a project that I manage, the Forest 2020 project. We work in Ghana, and part of what we do is support the Forestry Commission to produce better data to identify where shade-grown cocoa is actually being grown, so that companies are able to identify whether they're sourcing from cocoa that's being grown illegally in protected areas or if they're actually fine. But I think there are a lot of other cash crops that are growing in importance. So coffee is one, and avocados as well. There's been stories in the news recently about actually cafes stopping serving avocados on toast because of the impact that's having on the environment and the implications with certain potential drug cartels in Mexico. And it's something that both governments and companies in Mexico are incredibly interested in understanding, well, is this a risk? Can we certify to say that our avocados are being sustainably sourced and feed to the generation of millennials desperate for their avocado on toast?
Certainly something that people won't have considered before, I'm sure. Let's think a little bit more about your Forest 2020 project. I mean, this is obviously it's a very large project you got involved in. It's the UK government funded, but it's working in West Africa, as you said. So what's it all about, and what are the benefits that's accruing from it?
The whole purpose behind it at the very sort of basic level is to try and improve national forest monitoring through the use of earth observation. So like you say, we work across six countries globally, Latin America, Africa and Southeast Asia. And it's trying to improve how satellite data is used in some very technical terms. So how to be best detect where change is happening in forests. So there are particular challenges around cloud cover, where illegal logging means it's quite fragmented and difficult to pick up. Cocoa, again, very difficult to extract that information purely from satellite data because a lot of it's grown under the canopy. So what techniques and new types of data can we use to address those challenges? Another big aspect is around risk and opportunity mapping. So understanding which forest is most at risk of being lost, either from anthropogenic drivers like conversion to agriculture or also natural risks like fire. And also understanding which areas are most suitable for restoration. So ecologically, all of the countries we work in have made huge commitments as part of the Bond Challenge to restore millions of hectares of forests. So the question is, how do we identify those areas that are most suitable for restoration so that those efforts and those resources are most sort of efficiently managed and allocated to those areas? Similarly with risk, there's no point in putting loads of money towards conservation projects in an area where the forest is already lost, or in forests that's very well protected and actually at quite a low risk of being lost in the first place. And then the third sort of general theme is around digital infrastructure. So as part of the project, we are improving the data that's being created. Generally, there's just a lot more data around with the European Copernicus programme. There's loads and loads of free data available. So how do we make sure that it's actually managed and disseminated and communicated appropriately? And that's sort of where Ecometrica comes in with our platform. It's providing that digital infrastructure to enable governments, NGOs and private sector to actually access and disseminate and interrogate that data in a sort of accessible and manageable way.
So in terms of future then, is that where we're going to go? Just there's going to be more and more free data available, and it's a question of how we're all analysing it and thinking through its implications.
I think a big challenge going forward is definitely not what data is available, it's how to manage how much is available. But I think even with commercially provided data, the cost of that is coming down. The more satellites that go up, the more that the cost goes down in the data. So, and there's also increasing interest in other types of geospatial data, for example, using UAVs and airborne surveys to gather much higher resolution or optical imagery or LiDAR imagery. So working out also how to combine that so that you're getting the most from the data, but also at the best price point for the customer, I think will definitely be an increasing trend going forward.
Well, thank you very much. There's obviously a lot of exciting stuff happening in the space information area. Sarah from Ecometrica, thank you very much.
Thank you.